I missed the birth of my daughter. I may have been in the lab. So I never had that miracle of life moment, that biological epiphany. I totally missed it. Interestingly, my wife missed it too. But Katerina didn't miss it. She was definitely there for it. She was 24 and living in a small town in north central Kazakhstan. 8 months pregnant, she had to travel to a hospital 60 miles away because there was no local doctor. And she had to sit in a room with three other women, no TV, nothing to do, waiting to give birth to a child that she knew that she couldn't care for, our child. In 2007, my wife and I peered into that room, and four different women stared back at us, and we looked away, embarrassed. And we went to the end of the hallway in that hospital, and we peered into a different room, and we saw eight metal bassinets holding eight newborn infants waiting to be adopted. And we stared awestruck because we knew that our daughter had been there. A number of weeks later, we had arrived in Kazakhstan. We had flown over after the end of a 7-month paperwork pregnancy. And a nurse had put into our hands a beautiful little girl, and we were in love. Strawberry blonde hair, bright blue eyes, covered in red spots. And as a pediatrician new dad, I did the one thing that I instinctively knew how to do. I stripped her naked and examined her from head to toe. I put my ear up to her chest and listened to her little heartbeat, listening for murmurs. I took pictures to send back home to everybody who was a geneticist. But in the end, all that I could find was a beautiful, healthy child, our child. A couple of months later, after living in Kazakhstan and spending time at the orphanage, we were awarded custody of her, and in this incredible moment, her birth certificate was changed, and they put her name, Annika, onto the birth certificate. They put our names on as her parents. And we flew back home to our home in Boston, and when we landed in the United States at Logan Airport, she automatically became a citizen. Now, I'm a scientist. I don't use the word miracle very often, but to go from paperwork to living in Kazakhstan, to having this beautiful little girl in our home in Boston in 11 months, well, that was our miracle. But what I didn't know at the time was that there was a hole in her heart, very small, no symptoms. We had no idea. But as she grew, the hole in her heart grew, and over the years, it got bigger, and then one day, it started to make her cry. You know, we'd always been very open with Annika about the fact that she was adopted. When she was three, if you asked her where she was born, she would say in her little girl voice, "I was born in Kazakhstan." And she knew that she had mommy and that there was a birth mother. But then one day, the penny dropped. "I was born in..." Wait a second. And despite knowing how much we loved her and how much we wanted her, she began to realize that somebody had given her up. And in those moments, that hole in her heart, that emotional hole in her heart, became symptomatic. And everyday childhood occurrences would begin to make her cry, cause these emotional infarctions. and she would cry out to us, "I miss my birth mother." And she would ask the unanswerable questions. Why? About 4 years ago, out of the blue, I came across an article in the Washington Post about a teenage girl who had located her birth parents in Kazakhstan and had gone back and visited them. And I thought to myself, could we actually find Katerina? I mean, could you actually find somebody in Kazakhstan 7 years later? I mean, look at a map. Kazakhstan is huge. And even if we could, what would we do with that? I mean, you can't just pop over to Kazakhstan. And beyond that, I asked myself, should we? I mean, what if Katerina wasn't the person that we had envisioned her to be? What if she wanted nothing to do with Annika? How would we be able to tell her that the deepest questions in her soul might never be answered? So you know what I did? I called the young woman from the newspaper article and I talked to her, and in talking to her, I was entirely convinced that we had to do this, that we had to search for Annika's birth mother, that we had to be able to help her answer these questions. We had traced her life all the way back to that room at the hallway, at the end of the hallway in the hospital. Now we needed to do everything we could to answer for her those last few questions, that why. And so I gathered all the information that we had about Annika, mostly documents in Russian and some pictures of her. And I wrote a letter to Katerina, and we sent it to a tracker over in Kazakhstan. We didn't tell Annika that we were doing this. We didn't want to raise false hopes. And we sent this off. And about 4 months later, I got an email saying that they had found her. They had found Katerina. She was living in a small village about 100 miles away from where she had originally lived when Annika was born. And they sent us back a report with answers to a lot of the questions that we had. And they sent us back pictures. And for the first time in 8 years, Katerina went from being an idea to being very, very real. My wife and I debated exactly how we should tell Annika about this. And we decided to take her on a long weekend to a cabin in the woods on the Hood Canal. And one night we all sat on the porch as the sun was setting and the sky was turning pink. And we told her that we knew that she had wanted to know more about her birth mother, and that we had looked for her and we had found her. And then I pulled out a brown manila envelope with her name on it. And then we gave Annika a missing chapter of her life. And it was one of those moments along this really unexpected journey where I stopped and realized that I have no idea what happens now. And I watched as Annika, our Annika, the little girl from the room at the end of the hallway in the hospital, our Annika, who was always destined to have that hole in her heart, our Annika, who needed to know why, opened the envelope. And she pulled out the report and she asked us to read it to her, which we did. And she pulled out the pictures of Katerina and she stared at them for a very long time. And then she was very, very quiet. She didn't cry. She didn't really do anything. And then with this preternatural calm, she turned to us and she said simply this. She said, "Thank you for getting me this information." And she gave us a fierce hug. And then she very carefully put the report and she put the pictures back into the envelope. And she tucked the envelope underneath her pillow. And later when we got home, she would take the picture of Katerina and she put it beside her bed with her most special things, magic seashells, a picture of her grandmother, the electric candle that she used to light when she was thinking of her birth mother. And in that moment, I saw Annika's deepest pain eased, and I saw the hole in her heart healed. And I saw Katerina reach out across 6,000 miles and 8 years and reach out and touch our daughter. And I saw in that the dignity and grace of the decision that Katerina made reflected in the dignity and grace of the words of my child, and I was forever humbled. I may have missed the miracle of birth, but in that moment, I witnessed a miracle of life. Thank you very much.